Hey everybody, welcome to Checkpoint AFK, where you can hear about where gamers and nerds talk about everything away from the keyboard. I am your host, Norris Howard, joined alongside Chad Callahan. Chad, how are you doing?
I'm here.
I got a little headache,
but I'm powering through it with this lovely drink.
With a Gatorade Zero.
Gatorade Zero. I
signed the check, Gatorade.
Yeah, please, I will promote the hell out of you. I have it almost every AFK.
Take an aspirin. Anyway, also...
Nuprin, small, yellow, different.
Also, we have Callie Sloan in the building. Callie, hello.
How's it going?
I'm here, man.
We're back. It's Wednesday.
It is very Wednesday for me.
Boy, is it ever very Wednesday.
It is very Wednesday.
Of course, if you're listening on the podcast, it's Friday.
That's
true.
Congratulations,
but if you're live,
future.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
You made it to the weekend.
We're talking to someone like on Friday. They're in a way better mood than we are right now.
There is no guarantee that is true.
Because a lot of people probably work weekends, and we got to consider that.
I suppose, but who's happy on a Wednesday? Even when I did work weekends, like,
Keeper's pretty happy right now because he's not working.
See?
He's going through his weekend currently.
Exactly.
He's
so we don't know.
This guy five.
But he's miserable on the inside if his weekend is on a Wednesday.
I mean, facts, though. But anyway, we want you to like and subscribe to this fucking mess of a podcast that we like to do every week. So Wednesdays is for the boys. No, it's not, because there's a girl in here.
Maybe we can degender the word boys now, because I feel like the boys is more of a turn of phrase anymore.
Kind of like what's up, guys?
Yeah. It's like a man. Like, hey, man. Like, I would still say that to a woman.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not going to not.
It reminds me of the Donald Glover bit where he talks about how the N-word is a catch-all for everything.
Yeah.
Amongst black people, how even inanimate objects can be called the N-word.
Oh. Yeah.
So,
or the F-word for almost everything. It's the same thing. 100% true.
100% true. I've called everything the N-word. I've called... I'm serious as a heart attack.
I'm not.
Dogs, squirrels, cats... Remote controls.
Norris calls me the N-word at home. Good to know.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. The amount of times I've called white people the N-word.
I was going to ask.
Because it's not a racial thing or anything.
It's more of a cultural thing.
It's not even cultural.
No.
It's just human.
Yeah.
I meant using it that way is cultural.
Listen, I've been talking about Donald Trump and said, man, I can't stand that N-word. And it just is what it is.
The thing that it's a weird word for a lot of most people, but it's also something that I find interesting, because in most cases you hear it and you're like, that's a, you know, the derogatory.
It's a slur.
But then at the same time, it can be like a greeting.
Let me tell you something.
You know,
I am not one
word.
Of those. I'm not one of those bury the N-word type people.
No,
I will use it freely, and I will defend my right to use the word freely.
Do what you will with
my lineage, number one.
Yeah.
But I will say is for everybody else, use at your own risk.
I'll agree, yeah.
There it is.
No, I'm just going to say,
freedom
for everybody
of speech,
else,
all you want, but
use
they also
at your
have,
own risk.
They also, they you also be catching hands. So.
Yes!
I got to tell you, I'm 31 years old, and to this day, that is a word I have never said.
And I am so proud of you.
Why would you want to know why?
Because you're a good person, so you have no desire
to
use it. In the same way, there's a ton of slurs I have no desire to say.
It's not something that's going to slip out Freudian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's I would I mean, have like, to take a conscious effort to say that word.
Like, I will kid you not. I knew, right, because I grew up in the city of Detroit, which is like 82% African American, and so... casual, like, everyday racism didn't happen because I'm around black people all the time.
Yeah, it's a bit different.
Right? It's a bit different here. I didn't know how widespread it was until Call of Duty. And to be perfectly honest with you, and I kid you not, me and my buddy were playing Call of Duty. Black Ops. We're playing Black Ops 1. And, I mean, we wrecked shop. And we're on voice chat. So you can tell me and him are African American. When we speak, just the cadence of our natural voices. Mm-hmm. And the guy who, you know, one of the guys who was on our team was like, he was like bigging us up. He was like, oh man, he was like, y'all killing it, da 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 da. We're playing like Ground War or something. He was like, oh man, y'all put up 50, da da da. He's super hype. And as soon as we got back into the lobby, we're like all laughing, having a great time. He goes, ha 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 ha, nigger. And I'm like, it had to be ruined. This great gamer moment. I was like, I was damn near ready to be like, I wish I had a phone. Like, I had my phone out. I wanted to record it. Like, look, people being nice on the internet.
This should be great moments in gaming history.
This should be great moments in gaming history.
Up in flames.
Oh, yeah. Mega in the chat saying Xbox Live chat.
Hoo boy. Listen, it is what it is. But listen, later on in the show, we will get into black culture.
I got to tell you, I didn't think in segment one we were going to have the N-word dropped on this show.
But,
I really didn't.
But, hey, listen, it is what it is. And you know, whatever.
Sir Evan Pinger saying, oh, damn, the hard R.
It happened. And listen, I try not to say it on this show, but for the purposes of telling that story and explaining it, I have to say it. But anyway, with that said, you know, I'm playing a lot of Fall Guys, which
wonderful,
which has gotten a lot of expletives out of me lately.
Same.
But I'll say this, guys, is that Decibel's hitting us with the tier 3 subscription. Hey, how you doing? Oh, wow. Do I get to see a live show for once?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you punk ass just hit your push notifications, everybody gets it. Anyway, thank you for subscribing. By the way, if you have not liked or subscribed, make sure you head over to our Twitch channel. If you're listening on the podcast, that is twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
And if you're on the podcast, make sure you subscribe on Apple, when you subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcast, wherever.
That's right. But, Chad, you also have been playing a lot of Fall Guys.
Yeah.
And that game just pulls fury out of me like no other.
It's actually funny because I've been kind of following, I don't know if you've seen the stuff with Tim the Tatman.
Yeah, watching him rage has been great.
The funniest thing about it is, like, brands are now beginning to, like, poke the bear on this one. Like, Spotify posted about, like, a playlist they made for Fall Guys, and they're like, in the Tat Man, this must bring some rage out in you.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
I love the fact that this is like a meme moment that even brands like Spotify can like, and it genuinely, that was really funny to me. You know, it wasn't something that's like cringeworthy.
Right.
Like,
So
I bring this up to say, you know, what is a game that pulls, and don't say Dark Souls, but what is a game that just infuriates you to no end?
Any shooter ever.
Because I know one, and it's not even a real game.
Tag?
No. Tetramaster from fucking Final Fantasy IX. The worst minigame ever conceived by
it's
Square
pretty bad.
Enix.
That was not great.
I hate that game. It's shit.
Man,
Callie.
That's hard. Because like Dark Souls obviously is like the rage inducer.
Yeah.
But a game that I just hated and got actively mad at. I mean,
still played.
You talk about games like that, like, okay. So thank you for mentioning Final Fantasy because that's going to get me to this one. So the Final Fantasy X remaster came out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to say Blitzball, aren't you?
I'm not going to say Blitzball because you know
the
what?
The Chocobo races?
Blitzball, once you understand Blitzball, is no problem.
I know where you're going. Proceed.
So there's a place called the Thunder Plains in Final Fantasy X.
That
has a mini game that you have to do where you have to dodge lightning bolts.
What is happening?
That has a mini game that you have to do.
Mute your thing.
How do you hear?
What is happening?
Sorry.
Fucking hell, Chad.
I don't know why it would play through because the desktop audio is off. I went on Twitch to see if
what
I
the hell?
I'm glad you're wearing headphones.
I wonder if James set that screwed something up there because that's James's station for Nerd Radio.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know why. We're gonna have to figure that out later.
So,
but interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Some people in the chat see where this is going.
Yes.
To get the final weapon for Lulu, you have to dodge 200 lightning bolts.
Yeah.
And I had the pleasure of effing up on 198.
Ooh.
And going back to number
and
one.
And not only that, here's what you got to hear the whole time. Do, 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 do. It is.
It never ends.
I remember.
Never
ends.
Sarah and Rob were in the room with me and just watched in horror as I got hit at 198. Now, and like I sat there in stunned, abject terror.
Let me tell you something.
I went through the stages of grief
all at once
in like a 4 minute span.
You know, I never got that ultimate weapon because I saw that requirement and I was just like, fuck y'all. I'm not doing that.
No, and truly, you know what? That's when I learned the difference between me at 31 and me at 16, where me at 16 would have been like, damn, and started over. I went, well, I guess I'm just not getting that ultimate weapon and left.
I think
I was
done. That might be the difference. I think the difference here, too, is not even just the age difference, but the fact that I feel like I don't have time like I used to to put that much effort into one game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I will never 100% anything anymore.
I'm going to be for real with
There's no way for me to ever do that anymore.
I'm about to do it with Ghost of Tsushima.
You're going 100% Ghost of Tsushima?
I think it's...
I'm going to. I've made a conscious effort to say I'm going to 100%.
All right, but are you ever going to do that with many games? Or is this just because this game you enjoy it so much you're going to do it once? Or is this
it's more that I really enjoy the game.
Yeah.
All right, then that being the exception...
Yeah,
I think as a kid, I was more likely to be like, I'm going to get every damn thing
I have never been that guy.
Oh, I was.
My friends are.
Ever. I've never been that guy. Unless you told me that 100% in it gives you a secret ending.
Even still, I wouldn't. No. I would be like, I'm going to Google it.
Doing it for the sake of doing
YouTube it.
YouTube
it.
Fuck
oh,
no.
Man. If
people would be like, oh, did you get all the secret packages? Fuck no, I don't care.
It's like the same reason I've kind of stopped caring about sitting at the end of movies to see the final trailer or
I'll
the final clip.
Watch it on YouTube.
I'm going to go watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, and I'm going to watch it like six times on YouTube.
I'll watch it. I'll find it during the credits while sitting in the theater. Watch it and be like, that was funny. Bye.
I think I did that for one of the Captain America movies. The one where I literally pulled out my phone and I was just like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's what happens. Yeah. No, you know, it was, what's the one where they were, was it Endgame? That
were they all eating at the end, or?
No, that was the first Avengers,
Avengers.
They get shawarmas.
Endgame,
I don't remember.
Endgame's post-credit sequence was
the pager with Captain Marvel.
It was the pager, yeah.
Yeah, I pulled that shit up on my phone. I was like, is there an after-credit sequence of?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'll Google it.
Oh, of Infinity War, not Endgame, of Infinity War. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Revelation says, if you're not going to 100% Cyberpunk, can you even call yourself a gamer?
I don't give two fucks about 100%ing Cyberpunk.
That seems like it would be too big to do.
Like, 100%ing that game would be a nightmare.
I don't even know this is possible, but that would be saying, like, let me 100% any, like, Bethesda game ever.
Which only, like, five people a gen do.
And then, like, they'll update it, and you're like, no!
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, what a 100% playthrough of, like, even like go back to like Morrowind.
Could you?
Yeah, you could.
By abusing some stuff in like the
I feel like you'd have to go back.
You'd have to do it on the PC version because you couldn't get to Grandmaster of all three guilds in the original Morrowind.
You'd have to choose
path. At some point you have to choose one, don't you? I mean, there might have been a way to cheese it or glitch it. I don't know.
Yep. But no, to do every single solitary thing the game has to offer in one playthrough, no, you can't do
it. See, I swear to God, Omega Weltall and me are leading like the same life because I had the same thing. I played through Final Fantasy VII Remake, really enjoying it, and I enjoyed it all the way to the end. But then when it came to time to like, all right, am I going to New Game Plus into hard mode and get all the extra stuff?
No.
No. There's zero chance I'm going to spend the time to do that.
Can I talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake real quick?
If you say some fuck shit, I might
hit you. I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you
proceed.
All right. And this goes to the fact that I get irritated with things to the point where I just won't touch it for a while.
Uh-huh.
So I played that for a good whole day.
Uh-huh.
And I got very far.
What is very far?
I can't even remember. It's been so long.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
The other shoe to drop is that's the last he's played of it.
The problem is I went to the point where I played, I saved, and I was like continuing the story. And then I noticed something was weird. I was like, why am I watching a cutscene I've already seen?
Oh.
And I was like, what happened?
Uh-huh.
And it took me back like a good hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
And I was... furious.
So you didn't manual save, which
I saved, but I never stopped playing.
You didn't manual save.
Why? Why would I have to?
In 2020, why do you have to?
Why do I don't? I've I mean, never no, manual listen. Saved anything listen. On my PlayStation 4. Why do I start now with a new game that just came out?
First of all, let me tell you something.
I haven't touched it since.
All right. That's some bullshit to stop playing
I'm
a game
so
over.
I'm so mad I can't get myself to continue.
That's some bullshit.
Because I know that I'm going to have to go.
For as good as that game is, that's some bullshit,
Chad. I will eventually start it up.
Chad, let
I
me
just
tell
need
you,
to get the courage. And
I got through chapter 16 of that game and did like the freaking hour and a half in the, or 3 hours almost, in the VR simulator.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get all my stuff out of there. And then went and encountered a game-breaking bug in the damn ventilation system. And guess what I'd forgotten
I hit
to
that bug too.
Save out of the VR simulator. I had to go back and redo all of it.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to combat it, though. Like, that's the thing. I guess the reason why I stopped is because I was going to research how to make sure not to make that happen again. But, like, I just don't know what the process is. Like,
but see, I'm like Omega Veltal in our chat. Oh, I'm old school RPG, man. I manual save almost compulsively.
I grew up playing them. But, dude. Like, I just got to the point where, like, I don't want to
no,
anymore.
Dude, you are not a real gamer. Not
whatever.
A real gamer.
Leave.
No,
you know what the issue is we went through like a 10-year period that I would call the dark ages of good RPGs. Like
2005 to about 2015.
Yeah, that era was just not good for RPGs, save for things like Mass Effect.
The Persona series.
And the Persona, like, that's what I mean. Like, there weren't a lot of good RPGs in that era, it feels like. And we kind of got out of those behaviors, those learned behaviors. We got into playing more shooters. We got into playing more other things where you never had to do that. I played, like, things like Dark Souls, where not only is there not manual saving, you can't. Like, you can't go back and undo something.
Yeah.
Like, when you die,
you
it's
die.
Saved already.
Yeah. You have to go back to the beginning.
Still, because of stuff like Mass Effect, I'll just be going somewhere and be like, this feels like a boss battle's coming. I know it. A boss battle's coming. It's just JRPG sense. You just go, random big-ass room with nothing in it. Boss battle.
Boss battle.
Go back and save.
Awfully quiet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go back and save.
Yeah. Usually you have those moments like the music cut out, and this room looks larger than the last one
There's
I was in.
There's a big door right there.
Yeah.
There's no way. There is no way they make me run across this big ass room to this elevator.
Easily.
And I don't fight anything.
Yeah. What?
So there was, probably save.
In Final Fantasy VII Remake, there's the one room. That
I'm thinking of, I am directly thinking of one room in the lab.
In the lab where it has the pipeline that runs around and the huge ass door. I remember running into that room being like, okay, there's got to be a boss. And then you get to the end and there's not a boss. And then later on you come back there and you fight a boss.
There it is. There's other games like, I don't remember what game it might have been, one of the Dark Souls that Kiefer was playing. But I remember he was walking up to this big statue and I was just looking at it and I was like, you're going to have to fight that.
You're going to have to fight
that. You're going to have to fight it.
It
sure
is too,
enough.
It is too unique of a model
to
not fight it.
Good looking.
I think I was on stream during Dark Souls when I came across a statue like that.
Yeah.
And I literally remember going, oh, I don't want to fight that. That looks like it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Yep.
And sure enough.
Absolutely.
Get ready to
fight
it.
Dude, you encounter something, you'd be like, everything in this room looks like everything I've seen before, except for that.
Except for that one.
It's going to come to life.
You know,
I've played enough Devil May Cry
to
be like, every one of these statues is about to come to life.
I'm going
to
fight you.
It.
I'm going to fight you. Yeah. Like, you know what this actually reminds me of? And Halloween's around the corner. But I remember
you're one of those people who's like, it's June, and you're like, oh, guys, it's time
Halloween.
To get spooky.
We all know this.
Ugh.
We used to, back when, you know, going outside was a thing, we'd go haunted housing
all
the time. The before time. And I remember going in, I'm really good just like with picking out like what I'm going to fight, at knowing where the scares are, like what to expect.
Oh, knowing
where
the jump scare is.
That's going to drop. But I remember the first room you entered in this one, I can't remember, it was in the middle of Ohio. The first thing you see is there's this big doghouse. And it's like, that dog's going to come out of that. Easy. Stupid.
Yeah, for sure.
Stupid simple. So we're all backed up against the wall. And we're like waiting, just like waiting for the dog to come out of the doghouse. The wall behind us drops. And a huge animatronic thing just comes up. Scares the crap out of me. That was one of the best moments.
Oh,
and I want
good.
That to happen in games. Like, I want that kind of
Some games still can do it.
Some games, some games. Game was good at doing stuff like that is Outlast. Outlast was good at giving you moments like that where it's like, all right, someone's going to scare me from over there. And then so you like shuffle along trying to dodge it and like you bump into the actual thing that's going to kill
you.
The
only thing I could think of early on is Resident Evil when you're going through like that really, I don't know, hallway, and then those hands come through between the woods.
Resident Evil 2.
It was 2
in the police station.
I'm going to tell you the one thing that took me by surprise that scared the ever-loving shit out of me when I was a kid was going through the Shadow Temple of Ocarina of Time,
baby.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, I'm chilling, and I'm like, all right, I got to go this way.
The music's creepy. They got the grab me gotchas on the ceiling. I don't like them.
And I
got
to go this way. And I just hear, like, wind for some reason. And I'm up here thinking, like, did I leave my window open?
No.
I'm like,
no.
What the fuck? And then,
you see this?
And I'm like, oh, shit. It was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no,
yes, decibels, the re-deads.
The re-deads,
that look at you and you hear the scream. Oh, my God.
But no, you're right. Like, that first time, like, the shadow starts going out underneath you. You hear the wind blowing and the fucking grab me gotcha comes down and gets you. I don't like it.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But anyway, we are going to have a very weird thing, a weird conversation. Stick around. We're going to talk about some anime.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For all the latest in Overwatch League action, check out The Owl's Nest with me, Robbie Landis, and my co-host, Jake Lyon. Find new episodes every weekend on Checkpoint XP's YouTube or at CheckpointXP.com. Or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Checkpoint AFK. If it's your first time listening, I'm Norris Howard. Chad Callahan to my left. Callie Sloan to my right. We want you to like and subscribe. Make sure that you tell all your friends about us because it's really a show about not much. And also,
are we going to be the Seinfeld of the show about nothing?
It's a show about everything and nothing at the same time.
We talk about too much about nothing.
Too much and too little at the same time.
Too much and too little.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And that's the beauty of the show. But right now, we're going to talk about some anime. We're talking about some anime. This is absolutely one of those. We are just shooting the shit in the office.
So first of all, we have, like everyone else, or like so many others, have not been working in the office for the last 5 months or so.
Yeah.
So now that we occasionally, even now, we don't work in the office very often.
Yep.
But when we do, we occasionally have more than one person in the office, and it's nice, actually.
You forget the water cooler effect.
You forget the water cooler talk. You do.
You do.
And so this was a prime example of that where we just started talking anime.
Yeah. And so this stemmed from the NBA put out a video. You know, that was promoting the NBA playoffs coming up because they're all in the bubble. And so they're trying to drum up some excitement for the NBA playoffs. And they did it by essentially making a basketball version of the Cowboy Bebop intro.
Yeah, by ripping the Cowboy
Bebop. By the way, if you have not seen it, go on social media right now and search for it. It's actually low-key. Really, really
amazing.
They did a really great job.
It was even in the same ratio.
It was in 4-3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was in 4-3, which was great. But it sparked up a conversation because we all at the same time pretty much say, wow, Cowboy Bebop is amazing.
Yeah, great anime.
And easily one of all of our favorite animes of all time. And so we got to talking and we said, you know, what is your five favorite anime of all time, and excluding Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Because we all were going to agree that Cowboy Bebop is a GOAT-level anime, period.
It's a classic. It's been there for us.
It's not just that. It's everything you want anime to be.
And
it's deep. It's got great voice acting, both in dub and in original Japanese.
It's got a clear ending.
Clear ending.
So... Here's what we all came to on Cowboy Bebop. some of us, namely me, I might argue whether or not it makes my top five, but I would never begrudge anyone who put it in their top five. It's absolutely
which is good enough.
Arguable to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we said, what would be your five top anime of all time? So we wrote this down. We gave it a couple days to think about it. And we're going to go around the horn here, and everybody's going to give their favorite anime. So me being in chair one, I will start.
All right, give us one.
And I'm going to be honest. One of my top, and this is in no particular order,
say,
by the way,
can't
guys.
Order these.
Yeah,
no
I could never order them.
I can never order them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest, and a lot of people look at me and say, oh, wow, I would have never expected that of you, Norris, is low-key Sailor Moon and Sailor Moon R. So Sailor Moon in the second season of Sailor Moon, after they start talking about trees and all this other bullshit, I fell off. But those first two seasons of Sailor Moon are absolutely great. And it's because you begin to see, you see Serena really start as this petulant child. And is
God,
she really,
is she?
Right?
She's insufferable.
Insufferable. I hate her, which, by the way, is why in season one, Sailor Mars is by far my favorite Sailor Scout, because she's the only one with goddamn sense. Anyway,
yeah.
But still very much so like a teenager. Like, that's what I liked about it, is that they were still very much so teenagers. Mm-hmm. The one thing I hate about anime is that they'll take a 14-year-old and now they all of a sudden act like they're 25. Like, they have this maturity about them, and I'm just like, dude, that is not how 14-year-olds act.
No.
Sailor Moon does that actually really, really, really well, in my opinion, and that's part of what makes it a really good anime. And then you have the second season, Sailor Moon R, which is about the Dark Moon, and so they now the Sailor Scouts have foils, essentially, where they're almost coming up against
right.
dark versions of Sailor Scouts. And I think it's fucking brilliant, and I don't think they've made too many anime better than that.
Well, my first one is going to be, Omega Weltall is going to hate this. He says, man, I can't stand shonen battle anime. Mine is going to be the Toonami comparison or companion piece to Sailor Moon. The 4 o'clock to Sailor Moon's 4:30, if you will.
Yep.
Dragon Ball Z. Yeah.
It kind of goes without explanation.
It is quintessential 90s, like, my first anime. Like, yeah. It was everything you wanted to be and see in an anime at that time. And, like, today, I can tell the things I truly loved by how much I hate them today.
Yeah.
Like, I loved Star Wars.
Yes.
I loved it with every fiber of my being, every bit of ancillary content. And I know I loved it truly, because today I can look at it and go, that's fucking stupid, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Like, that's what I like, how you know. Because if you look at today and you say, oh, it's better, you may not have truly loved it back then.
I agree with you.
But Dragon Ball Z is, like, again, and Omega Waltz also says that's the exception. It is the standard.
I think it's everybody's anime exception.
Right, exactly. Like, everyone can at least respect Dragon Ball Z, or if not, you can appreciate the memes about how it takes, like, how many DBZ characters does it take to screw in a light bulb? One, but it'll take 5 episodes.
That's right. That's right.
Like, that's, like, you can at least appreciate the tropes that were born.
Absolutely.
Out of it.
Chad.
All right. And I actually forgot to look up who created this, because we argued whether American anime counts, and I don't care.
We're gonna talk. Does Amerime count?
It counts.
Okay, Amerime right. counts. Fair enough.
Whether it is or not, I'm not sure, because I don't know if this is American or not. But I want to throw out a newer one with Castlevania.
So good.
I think that's
so good.
I'll say, you want to talk
what
about
all anime needs to be.
You talk it's about a clear like story. Taking the yeah, it's the award for my low expectations were rewarded. Like, I didn't go into it with a lot of expectations.
Same.
I'm like, Netflix, American anime, all right, we'll see.
First season.
Castlevania.
Castlevania is a perfect example of somebody doing really well with source material that is not the greatest.
Yeah.
Simply because Castlevania as a story up until Symphony of the Night and, you know, the Soma's series of it.
Yeah.
The story was kind of... didn't matter. It was negligible.
It was more,
what is a man?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is a man? A miserable pile of secrets.
It's a platformer.
Yeah, so this was translated in the era before translations were very good.
Exactly. But you think about, there's so many characters I like in Castlevania. Dude, Camilla is like, I love her. Like, absolutely, like, yes, enthrall me, sis.
Yeah.
Is there a like second season of that out yet? I never went back to see the second season.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
a second season.
Oh,
there's
I
a second
season.
I don't know. I think
wait, no. Technically, this a, that technically that's three... the third season.
Oh, sick. All right. I gotta. I'll go check it out. I watched the first season. I loved it.
Either way, Alucard has a bi threesome.
It's hot.
Oh well, then so... sign me up.
Okay. The thing that's great about this show is I like shows where you see both ends of the spectrum.
I need more of that gay vampire stuff in my life.
The whole idea is. You know, you have the good guys, essentially, and then the bad guys, like Dracula and his cohort. But the interesting thing is, like, they don't focus just on the good guys. They're focusing a lot on what's going on within Dracula's, like, world.
It's like factions. It's not necessarily good-bad.
It's not
good-bad
because everyone's doing some – everyone's assholes, essentially. And you don't know who to root for. You're kind of rooting for, you know, Alucard and – I forget the main guy. But
Trevor.
And – you're also rooting for Dracula. You're like, I don't know who's going to win, but I'll be happy.
I love Trevor because I almost...
John Mayer. Yeah.
All right,
yeah, don't spoil
it. But anyway,
we won't spoil
it, but go watch it. Either way, I'll just say is I just wish Trevor Belmont would just, like, start every conversation with, like, Trevor Belmont, fuck off. Like, I just... That's the energy.
All right, Norris, give us another one.
All right, it was actually named... In one of the chats here from Omega Weltaw, I got to go with Robotech / Macross.
Oh, classic.
Again,
Never seen it.
80s anime.
Oh, so that's 80s,
classic.
Right? Yeah, it's not even in the 90s.
80s anime classic. Yeah. It is. They took a formula that was started by Mobile Suit Gundam and leaned way more into interpersonal relationships and less about big robot battles. And it's really fucking good, real good. I mean, let me put it this way. I like Robotech so much because they took a guy who was the most unfuckwittable pilot in the entire Robotech and they killed him in episode 5.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, he didn't die in this blaze of glory. He didn't
just died.
No, he did. What happened is he took a shot to his cockpit. Everybody's like, oh, my God, Roy, are you okay? And he's like, I'm straight. And then you're like, oh, man. He said, whew. That was a close one.
Thank God.
And he goes home to his black wife.
is he black?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which, again, black love in a 1980s anime.
That's what I was going to ask. Rare. Like, so this
wild,
character,
yeah.
you
right?
know what you're
so,
rooting for.
So black love. Love anyway, it. So he goes home. He picks up his guitar. And he plays his guitar, and he sits there, and he bleeds to death playing his guitar in his kitchen. And his wife has no idea. She's just talking to him, washing the dishes, going like, oh, wow, I'm so happy you came back, and I think you really held him off this time, and we may have made it actually. And she's talking to him, and this whole time, he's just dead.
Bleeding out.
He's sitting there dead with a smile on his face playing his guitar. I'm like, oh! My feels. I love this anime, and shit like that happens over and over again.
I love it.
That's cool.
So my next one, I'll put my big robot on one on there.
You gotta have one big robot anime.
Yeah, and it is Evangelion, but I gotta tell you something about that. Like, I grew up a huge fan of Evangelion. It was a very defining anime for me. It changed a lot of my opinions about anime and what it could be. And I've always liked it and always appreciated it, but I will say that my love for Evangelion has waned in the last 10 years.
Well, it's because so many people hopped on the Evangelion wave.
I feel like it got real popular all of a sudden, and for no, not when it just came out, it just got popular.
Yeah,
for
yeah
no
that's
reason
right. And,
at all.
And it still makes my top five, but I gotta say, it is the one that is flirting with being bounced out of the top five. Like,
Make my top five.
Yeah, I go
honest.
Back and watch things like Excel Saga, and I enjoy that more on a rewatch, even though Excel Saga is weird as hell on a second watch. Mm-hmm. It is, of course, a classic. It was a great deconstruction of its type and of its kind, and it was groundbreaking. And you feel for the guy who made it, who got completely screwed over financially by it and by the next anime that he made, which it's hysterical that it happened to him twice, even though I feel really bad for him. Yeah, Evangelion still makes the list, but I gotta say it's...
Just barely.
It's flirting with disaster.
Yeah. Chad.
You got me thinking about big robot shows, and I actually haven't...
You say big O, I am not
gonna
be happy with
you. No, 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 I saw it
you.
In the chat, but I... actually want, I might adjust my list now because I was thinking of one that I used to love as a kid. I haven't watched it since, so it could be trash, but I used to love it as a kid.
All right.
But remember, was it Zords? Or
Zoids?
Zoids. But the one where they are, it wasn't the original one. It was the one where they're
fuck
in the.
Fuck out of here, Chad.
No. It was the other one.
Think of how old Chad is.
I would probably.
Zoids would have been like.
Yeah, you're
Zoids
right.
Would have been like DBZ.
Yeah, you're right.
The same age.
Chaotic one. Century?
I forget that you're slightly younger than me.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yes, Zoids Chaotic Century is
yeah,
the one.
Zoids
I didn't like
been
the original.
Right in his wheelhouse.
I
you're
don't
right.
like the original, but
Zoids
I liked
is your
the one where it was like they're in I don't know a post-apocalyptic feeling
yeah.
world, and that one was cool.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it since I was probably like 5 or 6.
But the thing is that if it sticks with you, right?
That's
because,
the thing, like,
because like it's not in my top five, but Voltron stuck with me. Like, there's just shit I remember from Voltron that I just really, really like. But in no way would I say it's in my top five. But I think, you know, everybody has those animes where it's just like, yes, I know this is not
yeah.
necessarily the best thing.
But it was a child. I remember watching it as a kid, and I would be enthralled by it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the reason I liked Beast Wars better than Transformers.
First of all, Beast Wars is better than Transformers.
Yeah, like I like
CXC Decibels
that.
In the chat was literally just like favorite Transformers and why is it Beast Wars? Which
100%. Oh, I didn't even see that. I did not even see that.
Absolutely is Beast Wars.
That's hilarious.
It's
oh, well,
so good.
That's probably why Chaotic Century and Beast Wars are like, I probably watched them around the same time.
You probably
it's probably
did.
Probably
yeah.
why
yeah.
I really liked them both.
Yeah. No, absolutely. All right. So, as one who loves robots, I have two giant robot animes, and this one is a tie. I'm taking some liberties, but it is a tie between Mobile Suit Gundam and Gundam Wing. And
I mean, it's two
why.
Gundam series.
I
mean, I'll let it go.
But
I couldn't
here,
tell you the difference between them, though.
No, huge. Anyway, but the reason why I like the two of them is because I like anime that deals with the political ramifications of what's happening. So you have, like, Dragon Ball. Nobody ever says, what does the president of this country that they're blowing entire craters out, how does he feel about this? What are the people doing at this time? Is there a military? What is happening to the world itself that these conflicts are happening in? And I think that was one thing that Gundam series across the board always did well.
Yeah.
But I think those
particularly
two,
Wing, I thought did really
Wing
well with that. Yeah.
Did a very good job on it because it is a sense of, here are these people who live in space who are somehow governed by people on Earth who have no fucking idea how to govern colonies.
Yeah.
Period. And so these colonies rebel and they start a war. That's Gundam Wing.
Sounds awfully familiar.
Doesn't it, though?
Doesn't it? But
sounds an awful lot like what you read in history books.
Exactly. But I think its characters are awesome. I love that Char Aznable and Zex Marquise are the same character. But I also love that each one of the Gundam pilots kind of can stand on their own as a really strong character. So those are right. tied in my top five.
So for my third one, lest someone accuse me of just being a 90s anime fan and not liking anything modern, I'm going to go and jump up to the modern isekai genre, which I'm going to say this. I'm going to preface this by saying already the isekai genre is played out and gassed as all hell, yeah. and I'm sick of it. Stop making isekai anime. Okay. Now, Konosuba is one of my favorite animes of all
time. I knew
it was
coming.
If I had to put it, if I was trying to rank these, Konosuba very well might be my number one.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much fun. I love that series and I love those characters for all being awful. Like,
yeah.
it is like when people talk about like why they love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia,
yeah.
a cast of characters that is genuinely awful.
Every one of them is reprehensible.
Like, the main character is right out of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He's just a terrible person. He never is really redeeming. And then everyone else is just a bunch of incompetent boobs. And the series is. is completely unapologetic about it. He's like, they're like, nope, they will never get better than this. They're all terrible.
Yeah.
And they have so much fun playing with the video game tropes of this world, you know, whether it just be being an adventurer or facing off with the various enemies that you might see in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
I freaking love Konosuba. It's so good.
I'll have to look for it. I haven't even heard of it.
Yeah, it's on like Crunchyroll and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like, it's got two seasons plus a movie right now.
Interesting.
Which already makes it digestible more than 90%.
Yeah, it's two seasons I can't remember if they're 10 or 12 episodes each, but they're only 23 minutes a pop, and the movie's an hour and a half. That's all there is so far. It's super digestible. The main characters have accomplished an incredible amount in two seasons while trying their damnedest to do nothing.
Yep. Chad.
I'm seeing a trend in my list, and I'll get to it at the end. But I'm trying to figure out if I should throw the left field out one now or not. But I'm going to throw out this one, and it actually – when I mentioned it in the office, you guys were like, really? I don't know. But it was Blue Gender. And that anime, I remember, again, I haven't seen it in years.
I'm going
off of ones that impacted me when I watched
it. You said Blue Gender, and I swear when you mentioned that in the office, I was like, oh yeah, 3x3 blue eyes. You creep.
Yep.
You weirdo.
Yep.
Well, it was. It's
then
not...
I remembered it was actually 3x3 eyes, and it turns out I'm the weirdo, so what are you going to do?
That anime, I remember being incredibly stupid dark, and it was horrifying to watch. Like, very few people live in that anime, and I also remember there being a really intense orgy scene in that. Which,
see, I've never watched Blue Gender, so I'm learning all about this.
I would say, and again, I haven't watched it in years, and I don't even know how old it is. It's probably from the 90s, but it is. I remember it being one of those things that changed my way of storytelling, because like you always think as a kid, you're like, everyone survives, and you have the happy ending, and that's how. I think this is one of the first real kind of like, this is a military.
Oh my God!
Yeah, this is a military action trying to fight this enemy alien, and we aren't winning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't actually remember the end. I don't even know if they do win because it's been so long, but I'm going to throw it out there just because it stuck with me, and there's a couple scenes in it that still resonate. Like, I still think about here and there. So Blue Gender 100% is up there.
Yeah.
Norris, number four.
All right. Number four. This is where I go with my, Toonami and Adult Swim raised me. And this is one that I actually only watched one episode in Toonami, and I immediately went out and convinced my parents to get me the whole rest of the series.
All right, hold up. Okay,
yeah, I'm trying to think.
It's got to be one of two series. There's two series that I feel like fit this bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's either Outlaw Star,
nope,
which would be completely acceptable, or it is Kenshin Himura,
Rurouni Kenshin.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely, it's Rurouni Kenshin. First of all, everybody know black people like samurai shit.
Which I questioned.
That's a pink samurai man.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Oh, yeah, he did wear pink.
Yeah. Absolutely, he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
He had the reverse blade sword.
That show deserves more credit than I recall.
I'm going to tell you why it doesn't, though. It doesn't get the credit it deserves because it is the definition of slow burn. Takes way too long to get
to. The first 36 episodes, there's like three that are.
I think season one's like 52 episodes long, and 30 of them are kind of worthless.
I think the reason why I didn't get into it is because, I like Cowboy Bebop, which I only think is 24, 26 episodes. Mm-hmm. I need that to be it.
Yeah.
I need that to be it. So 36 episodes before it gets good, that's a little bit
too much for
me.
Once it got started, it was like, oh shit. Here we go, and it never stopped.
Yeah.
It was really, especially once you got to, like, its second arc where you start meeting, like, the Oni Waban group and all these other weird ninja people.
Yeah. No, again, like, Kenshin is great once it gets going.
Yeah.
It takes a, like, if I was to try and tell a friend to watch Rurouni Kenshin, I'd say pick it up at episode 40.
Start there and go.
For just watch a YouTube video about like 10 minutes long about the beginning, and then that's all.
And I will say, and the reason why I like Kenshin so much is because its fight sequences for when it was made are so good, and at the same time, they are the most anti-shonen fights that you will ever see. Like the first villain, Jinne, he is a guy who uses like illusions and stuff. And Kenshin beats him by breaking his arm with the blunt part of his sword.
He
breaks his arm, and this guy goes, can't beat you that way. So he stabs himself, and he dies.
Damn.
It's anticlimactic as fuck. I love it.
In the last film, the guy who's like blade is like still stained in like the fat and blood of his prior like kills, so he can light it on fire.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it makes no sense.
Vaguely
it's
remember
stupid.
That.
It's so, but stupid. It's so cool.
But it's so cool. And the series is just, you know what? Out of all the series I like, that series has the most drip. It's just got swag. It's just just style. It's stylish. So that's why I like
could
it.
Could I compare this to like so? Going off the samurai thing, Samurai Champloo doesn't
see
feel
samurai.
That.
Samurai Champloo was made deliberately to be stylish. Okay. It is not stylish by virtue
because
of
what it was.
It all is right. So good.
All right,
it's like, and don't get me wrong. I mean, Samurai Champloo.
It's fine, but it's flashy.
It's flashy, yep. And it is a classic in its own right. But I don't know if I could put it in my top five.
I wouldn't either. But that's what I was trying to compare.
It went up there with Kenshin.
No,
like Kenshin is.
Yeah,
no.
That's what I was asking.
All right, so I'm going to stay in the modern era, and I'm going to do my favorite drama of the last ever. I'm going to say Bloom Into You, which not a lot of people have seen.
I'm going to put it out here. I fucking hate drama anime.
I know.
I hate it. It's cheesy, and fucking Korea does it better. Korea does
drama
great. Way better.
Much
I
like,
hate it.
Much like most esports.
Yeah, Bloom Into You, though, is a
ooh, good one.
Is a series that, like, I cried on almost every episode of it. Like, it really got to me.
Is this the one about the girl who, like, can't feel feelings?
Love, specifically, yeah. She struggles with. It's about a girl who's grown up as a huge fan of, like, the shoujo mangas where, like, you know, the true love happens, the confession happens, the kiss and the fireworks go off, and she loves it. And she gets her first kiss and feels literally nothing.
Which is funny because I think there's a lot of people who can relate to that.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I don't even know who it was with.
She meets another girl who's going through much the same thing. She, like, has never had time for a relationship. She doesn't feel anything, and she doesn't care. And they kiss, and the older girl has fireworks go off immediately. She's like, that is, like, the moment
she's
for her.
The one.
She's the one, and the younger girl doesn't feel anything. And it's a story about them trying to navigate a relationship. It's the ongoing question, is the younger character asexual? What does that look like? That's not a topic that is frequently covered in anime ever.
Right.
And the whole thing is just heartbreaking and cute, and, like, you root for them so hard.
That's what's up.
I love Bloom Into You.
Chad, your last one. Or your is
my
this
fourth
second
one.
To last one.
I'm trying to remove one because I added one. Because
you got to get another one on there.
I'm just going to throw in Witch Hunter Robin.
Another one I've never seen.
I love
that one. Again, it's one of those ones that had a clear ending. It didn't last forever, which is the exact theme I'm noticing on all of mine. They don't go on for a billion seasons.
I agree with you.
A bummer.
It is
a huge bummer. the whole idea of it is a huge bummer.
I agree with you, Chad, because it is the main reason why I hate both One Piece yep. and Bleach.
I tell you, everyone's trying to get me to watch Hunter x Hunter now.
I've been watching
5,000 episodes.
Is it that long? Okay, we'll only watch Netflix level. Because, like, the one thing about Hunter x Hunter that I'm noticing, and it's kind of irritating me, is I feel like they never have a resolution to anything. They always start up something, it kind of gets resolved, but there's, like, a bunch of loose ends, and then they're like, you know what? Fuck that arc.
Hunter x Hunter is currently up to 148 episodes.
That's not terrible.
I'm sorry. No, I can't do it.
I could do that one before, like,
it's not
Naruto.
Like, yeah, it's not like Fairy Tail. I grant you that, which is up to what now?
227
plus
9 OVAs? Yeah, I started watching Fairy Tail until I realized
9 OVAs.
How long it was.
I can't. Yeah. And Bleach is like, what, 600
episodes? 600
episodes. Yeah. I can't do it. I just can't.
I would like to, but no.
I have things to do in my life.
Just the Fox in the chat says, hiatus.
That's 100% it. It is. That's it's fair. Like, we're going to talk about, we're going to have this huge issue, and it, like, we're going to briefly skate by how we're handling it, and then it's like, oh, whole new world we're in. What? Why? We need to finish this before we get to that.
Exactly.
Stop.
Hey, finish your current food before you get second.
Yeah. Fuck off. I hate that.
All right, Norris.
Wrap it up. Very quickly, I'm going to be honest. I am going to name a current anime, the anime that got me back into anime. I'm straight up saying One Punch Man.
That's a good one. I have not watched much. I've only seen a couple. But
I like the One Punch Man anime better than the manga.
So
I never read the manga.
Konosuba was the first anime that got me to watch a modern anime. It was the first time I sat down and watched something that was more modernly made. And the one that I watched directly on the tail of Konosuba was One Punch Man.
Yep.
And those two in a row of being really good and really enjoyable is what got me to start watching anime. After that, I picked up like Food Wars and a couple others.
Yeah,
and started
but food porn.
Yeah, food.
I mean,
food porn. The anime.
I'm calling it food porn. No, if anyone calls it food wars, I'm like, you mean food porn?
It's food porn and porn. First of all, it's but like it's
no,
like,
it's you know what it is.
And they're both in it.
Food colon porn. That's what it is.
Food colon porn.
But One Punch Man is great because I've watched enough shonen to really appreciate One Punch Man's total deconstruction of shonens.
Yeah,
I think it's amazing.
Just
I think
the ongoing. He doesn't care. Shut up.
Not even just that.
I need
that,
to go get my
even,
meat from the grocery store.
But even taking Saitama out of it and all the other characters around him, like Moomin Rider. This Moomin Rider, the character, as a representation of the useless sidekick who is just there to get beat the fuck up so the main character can be motivated to do something.
Yeah. And even to
it's great.
Even down to the final villain of the first season where like It's like the build up where it's like finally the true villain emerges who will be able to fight One Punch Man, and it's like and nope again no. They're like no
oh never mind
like, yeah no
never mind I think it's really really great and I can't wait I wish it just was more of it that's
yeah
all.
I agree with that. So for my last one, I'm gonna take us back to the 2000s, and I'm gonna say what is probably my all time favorite anime is Hellsing Ultimate.
That's a good one.
Specifically Ultimate. I liked the original Hellsing, but it gets pretty weird after episode 4. So,
I mean,
that's okay.
It's Hellsing.
Yeah, it gets real weird. I'll stick with Hellsing Ultimate where they fight Nazis like they're supposed to.
Will you explain that to me?
This is a series
like,
that by the end of it, London is being invaded by the 13th Crusade. the Vatican invades London while Nazis are invading London, while vampires have taken over London. Like, that's what's going on by the end of that series, and it's great.
As one who has been to London,
the
streets ain't big enough for all that, to be honest.
Hellsing, when does that take
They were
place?
Even smaller back then. They didn't have motor vehicles.
Hellsing takes place... let me be very clear. They fight Nazis, not in World War II. They did fight Nazis in World War II, but this takes place modern day. It takes place in, like, the series was in, like, the early 2000s. It takes place then. They have cell phones.
All right, Chad, we got to move quickly. Your last one.
I'm torn between two, so I'm just going to throw out, I'm going to say that I'm going to go with a cutesy one.
Oh.
Fruits Baskets. I thought it was cute because...
You want to talk about a classic, yes.
Yeah, it's so cute. I watched the new one. Have you seen the new one, the 2019 version?
The remake? I heard it was good.
It was cute. Yeah. I liked it.
Was it a remake or a new season?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember the original one, so I'm basing it only off the 2019
one. I mean,
very cute.
Fruits Basket is one of those ones where it's like, if you were to list off your favorite animes a bit when you were a child,
yeah, it's not for
Fruits
me.
Fruits Basket would probably be on
there.
For most girls,
I don't think it's gonna be for most people because the nature of it isn't conflict resolution in the style that you're used to for anime. It's more of like situational, and there is an overarching story,
so it's like Steven Universe.
Yeah,
which I mean is a great show,
it
but
is.
I'm just saying
I'd just rather watch Steven Universe.
Slice of life anime.
Slice of life.
It is for sure.
All right, so that is our list.
Notice we didn't have My Hero Academia on there.
My Heroes. You know what? Yeah, just very quickly, I just want to say here are some ones that you won't find on the list that a lot of people are probably gonna lose their shit over.
Someone's mad about Full Metal Alchemist.
No Full Metal Alchemist. No Naruto, no...
Nope. Doesn't make my top five.
Not at all.
To be fair, I do love FMA. Like,
yeah,
I don't have a problem with FMA. That's a great series.
So do I. No Attack on Titan.
Nope.
No
Kill la Kill, Gurren
no
Lagann.
No Kill la Kill, no Gurren Lagann.
Code Geass.
No Code Geass. No Hunter x Hunter.
All series I've seen, but like, nah, that don't make my top five. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, listen, because to me... A good anime, just like a good video game, or excuse me, just like good film, because I think a good video game, consensus rules mostly in video games.
Yep.
But I think like a good movie, some of the best movies ever made are not movies that made the most money.
Yeah.
So, I actually really appreciate the diversity in these lists, and I hope you guys take this list and have a blast.
The world of... BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Comics has been growing for the past 30 years, and that's why Robbie and Ben are here to break it all down for you. Join the Shop Talk every Monday for the latest in all things comic. Find The Other Identity at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
So the LEC, the League European Championship, They made a choice. They did a thing.
That's a thing.
Where they put out a battle rap video that for some reason everybody loves.
All right, I only have one comment on it. Stop.
Yeah, so everybody seems to really like this video. And I'm not saying this against any of the talent at the LEC. Because if I'm going to be honest, the LEC is by far the best broadcast package.
Their entertainment level is a lot higher.
Package, yeah. Casters, entertaining matches. If you had to pick one league broadcast to watch, you watch the LEC because it's the best of the bunch.
Better than the LCS these days.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. Yeah. Way better. Anyway, my point is that this video came out, and nothing against the people in it, but please fucking stop doing this.
Listen, I don't want to come out here and try and say that certain people can't rap. Because history has shown that people of all
creeds can rap.
Maybe those people aren't the same type of certain people we're talking about. I'm saying
legit certain people like the LEC casting team probably don't need to rap.
I mean,
ever.
Listen, yeah. it looks like they had a blast. In Echo, I'm not talking about just the play. I know the LPL is better when you watch.
If I want to watch good play, I'm
going
to go to the LCK.
Matches, but I'm saying
about entertainment value.
The combination of actual good matches, the casting team, the ancillary content, the actual graphics packaging, all of that put together is good for the LEC. That's the one I pick. But the reason why I bring this up is because, and I hate to say this, it was only a certain type of people that I saw that really loved this, and also a certain type of people that really didn't. And I'll just say this. I don't think esports and rap has made that convergence yet. Don't make rap and esports have to exist in the same sphere.
At least I can't see it for League of Legends. I could see it for maybe...
Here's the thing. KDA, K-pop plus rap works perfectly. The Giants song that they did for Worlds last year worked perfectly.
Hey, our good friend Mark Cooper does great video game tie-ins with his rap.
It can work.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Video games.
That's fine.
No, it could work absolutely well, and I think it could work for League of Legends. But here's the thing I've always said. If you're talking about rap and video games and making something cool, you have to let actual rappers do it.
Yeah, I think leaving it like I think they were playing off the fact that it was going to be funny and jokey, and whether while it was,
I mean, cringe. Cringe was why they did.
Like they're. I don't know why that's a style choice that people make, but
cringe is why they did it.
I can't watch those.
I get it. Doesn't have to be 5 fucking minutes long.
No, do it for a minute.
Do it for a
maximum.
And on top of that, there's a part of me, as somebody who used to create rap, who consumes rap, who has grown up in hip hop culture, I see that and it just instantly just creates a physical gut reaction of revulsion. Yeah. And I don't like it. I don't want people to do it anymore. And if you're going to do it, do what Riot proper did and just hire some rappers.
And Pop Stars and True
Giants.
Damage, right?
Yeah, and True Damage was great.
They were great.
It was really good.
Do that.
You know?
That's the way to do it.
Or if that's the case, wait till Lupe Fiasco makes a fucking League of Legends reference in his next mixtape, because he's
Because you know that's going to happen.
It's going to happen at some point. But let him do it. And then all of a sudden, League of Legends has all these new fans from, you know, the hip-hop world. That's how you do it. When I saw that, it just felt vapid and
weird.
Without feeling. So anyway, that's the show. I'm through yelling. I was actually nice to you guys.
We talked Animu.
We did talk Animu. We talked Animu, and I'm telling you right now, Callie, it is the last fucking time we'll talk about it.
There's no way it is.
Nah, I feel like there's going to be another.
Just between me and Rick, like, we're already going to be talking more anime on the website. I'm back in Final Fantasy 14.
You can talk anime all you want. It's not happening on AFQ.
What are you, Cartman?
Let's say that's very Cartman sound.
All right, it ain't happening. All right, anyway.
No, tune in next week when we're going to do the top five worst anime of all time.
It's a very long list.
It's
a long list.
There's a lot to talk about.
Anyway, that's going to be it for the show. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We will be back here next week a little bit earlier if you're watching on the stream. But we'll be back here Wednesday one more time. And be prepared for those conversations. For Chad Callahan and Callie Sloan, I am Norris Howard. Have a good day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.